This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm an associate professor of turfgrass science here at the New York State College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of August 24th, 2009. Well, following some very warm and stressful weather, we'll get a slight reprieve from the dog days. However, the showery period will likely add to excessive moisture in some locations and create wear problems and disease issues for many turf managers. Before beginning cultivation and overseeding programs, check your weather and, if possible, provide some protection to seedling pathogens such as Pythium and gray leaf spot. This is still a very early or very late for any type of weed control, as there are a number of problems associated with applications at this time. Cool nights are around the corner, and with that, more dense, intense dew formation that leads to foliar problems such as rust and dollar spot. And try to disrupt leaf moisture and use other good culture practices before fungicide application. In general, with the forecast weather information this week, temperatures last week was a warm week with many areas 3 to 6 degrees above normal and widespread heat stress. From a growing degree day perspective, while the heat is increasing, we are still well behind last year's record warmth, and still many areas are 7 to 10 days behind normal. Precipitation was mostly a dry week with many areas less than a half an inch, but there was a swath of 1 to 2 inches along the New York-Pennsylvania border. ET was very high for this time of year, with most areas losing about an inch and a quarter of water for the week. Soil temperatures to 2-inch depth, lows are still in the highs are still in the low 80s, and lows are in the mid 70s. The forecast for this coming week is a return to a showery period with widespread storms ushering in a return to cool weather. Expect temperatures to reach into the upper 70s and low 80s, and expect a drop in heat stress. But moisture levels will likely keep disease levels very high. In the disease risk area, high disease risk for our predicted pathogens will still remain high. Dollar spot, brown patch, anthracnose, and even Pythium will be high region-wide. And you can check this information at our forecast website at www.nrcc.cornell.edu/grass. Our Cornell Cooperative Extension update for the week from the Finger Lakes begins with Walt Nelson reporting foliar anthracnose, rust, red thread, and lawn mushrooms. Few homeowners have just realized the fact that most of their lawn currently right now is, in fact, crabgrass and is likely to start seeding and dying in the next month or so. The Westchester report from Jerry Giordano and Rick Harper, generally an oddly quiet period, but still concern for patch diseases in lawns, widespread problems with lawn bentgrass. Many questions and concerns continue about the need for lawn aeration if there is a benefit to using compost as a top dressing on existing lawns. The report from Long Island and Tom Kowalsik, lawns that are not being irrigated and are those with root problems are starting to show signs of drought stress and dormancy. Rainfall has been deficient in most areas. A newly seeded lawn in late July was being wiped out by Pythium blight, and this lawn was being watered 3 times a day, which of course is contributing to that issue. Bentgrass and bentgrass patches in lawns have started deteriorating over the last week now that high heat, humidity, and dry soil conditions are present. Samples of turf with chinch bug damage and dollar spot damage were submitted this week. In the Capital District, David Chinnery reports that they're experiencing a dry period that is leaving many lawns with a dormant look and feel. Many are already beginning to consider renovations and raising questions about new seeded varieties. Some concern for rust is beginning to show up in lawns. The Sports Turf report this week from Joanne Grudadario begins by talking about biostimulants. Biostimulants are organic materials that are used to stimulate or enhance plant growth. There is very little research that supports many of the claims made for the use of biostimulants, yet there is some evidence that under very specific circumstances they could enhance turf performance. Humic acid can be extracted from any material containing well-decomposed organic matter, soil, peat, and compost, for example. Just when humic is applied, it is really the solid state of humic acid. It is black or very dark in color and contains about 4% nitrogen. Turf won't realize much benefit from this nitrogen since humic acid is one of the end products of biological decay of organic matter and will tend to resist any further decomposition. So what's the benefit of applying humic acid? One of the properties of humic acid involves cation exchange capacity. Remember that CEC indicates the ability of a soil particle or organic matter to hold positively charged ions, cations, Typical CEC levels for sandy soils can range from 5 to 10, for loamy soils 12 to 18, and for clay soils very high at 20 to 25 milliequivalents per 100 grams of soil. The CEC of commercially produced humic acid is about 5 times greater than the CEC of good quality peat moss and twice as high as the CEC of soil humus. So the addition of humate products could increase the nutrient holding capacity of your soil. However, if your soil already has a high CEC and this was the only property you wanted to improve, you would need to think about whether or not the addition of humate would provide enough benefit given its cost. The disease diagnostic update this week from Rich Buckley, the Director of Diagnostic Services at Rutgers University, begins by talking about anthracnose being the primary problem in golf turf at this time. At this point in the season, much of the grass is wearing down from daily mowing and heavy play. The recent heat wave hastened the decline all around. The fungus that causes anthracnose, Colitotrichum cereale, will often move in and take advantage of these types of conditions. Other summer disease abiotic problems keep popping up too, albeit less frequently. The short list includes summer patch, brown patch, dollar spot, fairy ring, slime molds, bacterial wilt, take-all patch, Pythium blight, and Pythium root dysfunction, or root rot. I would also be remiss if I didn't mention that our sample output includes plenty of turf killed by assorted abiotic stresses. Outright heat stress, as well as turf grass subjected to localized heavy rain and flooding, seems to dominate these submissions. Gray leaf spot. Folks are calling in about gray leaf spot, but so far no disease in the lab. If you manage lots of ryegrass, however, the disease window runs into October, so keep your eyes wide open. A report from the ornamentals area indicates verticillium wilt killed the Japanese maple that was sent in from a landscape. We're also getting a steady supply of oaks and bacterial leaf scorch and a cherry with bacterial leaf spot. Bacterial leaf spot in cherry is caused by the bacterium Xanthomonas arboricola, PV pruni. It causes a shot hole symptoms in the leaves and some minor defoliation and twig blight. In this instance, the sample was an ornamental flowering cherry, but the disease has been quite severe over the last season or two in cherry laurel, Prunus lauriceriasis as well. My Gazing in the Grass report for this week begins by talking about late summer weed controls. Don't do it. Though this summer has been pretty kind for our cool season grasses, the number of weeds may be at high enough populations to become problematic. With normal summer temperatures expected, it's probably best to leave the herbicides locked in storage. Most of the problematic weeds, crabgrass, yellow nut sedge, summer annual broadleaf weeds, will be losing their vigor as they near the end of their life cycle in the next couple of weeks. We often get questions, if control is attempted now, will it reduce the seed source in the soil? The answer is likely yes, but there are so many viable seeds in the soil already, it won't make a significant difference in the next year's weed pressure. If you absolutely must treat, try to schedule it for the coolest, most overcast day in the forecast. Ensure damp soil and healthy turf. Avoid tank mixes with other herbicides and or nitrogen that could increase burn potential. Concerns about moss control have been coming across my desk, and moss is becoming more common in greens as we decrease mowing heights and nitrogen fertility in pursuit of faster greens. Moss becomes more competitive as the putting surface becomes less competitive. Though the herbicide Quicksilver has become the industry standard when applied at 6.7 ounces per acre, a recent article in the January edition of Golf Course Management showed that Quicksilver applied twice at 6.7 ounces, 2 weeks apart, then applying a light top dressing and a quarter pound of N every other week for 10 weeks was almost twice as effective as Quicksilver alone. This clearly demonstrates that the healthier the green after the application, the less of a problem that moss will be. Be sure to read the label for further instructions and experiment on a small area first, because your creeping bank grass cultivar and our annual bluegrass may not be tolerant to Quicksilver. Compost at establishment reduces rust disease. Researchers at Ohio State investigated the use of compost biosolids in turf establishment. A nutrient-deficient subsoil was amended with about a half a cubic yard per thousand prior to establishment. The plots with the composted biosolids significantly accelerated establishment of Kentucky bluegrass and bluegrass-ryegrass mixtures, with only slight enhancement of ryegrass establishment. However, over time, ryegrass density was greatest on composted plots. Finally, there was a significant reduction in rust on ryegrass where compost had been incorporated into the soil. However, rust infestations were over 25% of the plot. The non-compost amended plots had over 50% rust. The dollar spot is expected to surge. After a full day of high temperature, grasses can really catch their breath when evening temperatures drop into the 50s and 60s. In addition, many of the pathogens that plague us during the hot weather are not able to sustain growth in cool temperatures. However, the dollar spot fungus should begin to thrive in the cool temps, especially with adequate leaf moisture from the heavy dew conditions. Studies have shown that this late season strain of dollar spot is resistant to thiophanate methyl, so choose your control options wisely. And finally, overseeding. With concerns for grading spot very high this year, consider avoiding a ryegrass overseeding at this time. The young seedlings have consistently been associated with the greatest outbreaks. If you must overseed, then consider fungicide protection to avoid turf loss. Thanks for joining me this week for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, Associate Professor of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.